السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم، وقد قال الله تعالى: وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، respected brothers or sisters of the madrasa, those listening over receivers, many many times we have discussed this subject of dua. What is the purpose of dua? What is dua? What are the virtues of dua? Why should we be making dua? And especially when we are in good times, when we have good health, we have plenty of wealth, we have no problems and no difficulties, then why should we be making more dua at that time? Just as we will make, and everybody makes when he's got some difficulty and problems, but we become neglectful when we have no difficulties. Whereas that dua that we make when we are not in difficulties, then when we, khudana khasta Allah, forbid if the person goes into some difficulties, then the angels also plead on his behalf, that this voice was heard in dua many a times. This banda was making dua to you, O Allah, so come to his assistance. When he was in good time, he was making dua. In other words, when he had luxury, when he had happiness, when he had wealth, when he had good health, that time he was remembering you. So now come to his assistance. So dua is the essence of ibadat. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who was the closest to Allah Ta'ala, and who was masoom and sinless, absolutely sinless, no question of any sin, no doubt at all that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was masoom. But yet look at his dua, how much of dua he used to make. Any person who has been blessed with this tawfiq of dua in his life, then it is a great ni'mat and a great gift of Allah Ta'ala. That is one thing that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants to see in his servant, and that is his helplessness. This I have discussed again many a times, that Allah ta'ala has got everything in his treasures. What is he short of? He is not in need of anything. Does he need our ibadat, our zikr, our tilawat? He doesn't need our charities, he doesn't need anything. His treasures are unlimited, and he gives to us from his unlimited treasures. And not only to us, but to the entire mankind, to the entire jinn kind, to the entire farishta kind, and to all the creatures and all the insects and the fish in the sea and the animals in the jungle. Can mankind take upon itself that we are going to provide for all the animals in the jungle, when they have to have a zoo in which they have a few animals locked up in some cages? Then sometimes they say, we're running short of funds now. We have to close down the zoo because they're short of funds to feed those animals in those cages. And Allah Ta'ala is feeding the elephants and is feeding the ants. Allah Ta'ala's treasures are unlimited. And He wants us to beg of Him and ask Him to give to us from those unlimited treasures. But our gaze goes on everybody else except Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. After that, when everything fails, then we say, let's also try. In other words, Allah Ta'ala is there only for trying. When the bank manager refuses, and when our friends refuse, and our family members refuse, and everybody else refuse, then we say, try Allah Ta'ala also, make some dua. Whereas the first thing we should have been doing is making dua to Allah Ta'ala. He is the one who sends down the conditions, and He is the one who has the power to remove those conditions. From whom does it come? Whatever happens, it is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's hukam. If only a person has his yaqeen that it is Allah Ta'ala and everything is happening with His will. We have been given a willpower. Therefore we must exercise and use that willpower. But the himmat and the quwwat will come from Allah Ta'ala. And the decision will be made by Allah Ta'ala. Sometimes those things outwardly will appear to be harmful to us or difficulties for us or disaster for us. But in Allah Ta'ala's sight, it is khair for us, goodness for us. I mentioned the other day also that most of the times, after many years, we realize that that incident which took place in my life, which I considered to be very, very disastrous and very painful, and which put me into so much of difficulties. But in there was a great test for me, and Allah Ta'ala's decision was the best decision. Many a times wealth is not a good thing for certain people, and Allah Ta'ala holds it back. Many a times husn and beauty is not a good thing for some women and for some men. Those who are very, very handsome, they also get involved in great amount of fitnas and tests and trials. And those women who are very pretty also get involved in many fitnas and tests and trials. So sometimes for the protection from those fitnas, if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala did not give somebody that kind of beauty, then the person must think there's great khair in it. We don't know. Allah Ta'ala is the one who knows. So sometimes there's khair in it for us. And sometimes it comes as an azab and a punishment, as a wake-up call. We say wake-up call. So sometimes it comes as a wake-up call, the sudden change in the person's condition, that get up from your negligence, from your indifference. So then it is again rahmat of Allah Ta'ala for a Muslim and a mu'min, that it was a wake-up call, that instead of continuing in that road and ending up in Jahannam, at least he will now make a roundabout and return to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So for a mu'min, everything is khair. But we are obliged to follow Sharia, to follow the Quranic ahkam and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's teachings and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's example and practices. So one of the practices of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in which he engaged extensively was dua, which for us has become like a kind of timetable business, that we will make some dua after some farz namaz, and that to hit and run dua. We only depend on the Imam Sahib, that he made some duas are finished. So dua on different occasions we have been told, but in the life of a mu'min, there is nothing but dua all the time. If you look at all the azkar, or you look at those tasbihat, or you look at those duas that we are told to read before eating, after eating, before drinking, after drinking, before entering the masjid, after leaving the masjid, before entry into toilet, after leaving the toilet. Now if you look into those duas also, what are they? Seeking from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala protection from so many different kinds of harm, and asking Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for His fazal, for His blessings, for His rahmat and for His mercy in so many other duas. Those are the two things. Either you'll be asking for goodness, afiyat, salamati, izzat, respect, honor, barakat, rahmat, protection, all these type of things the person will be seeking. And then he will be asking Allah Ta'ala for protection from different kinds of calamities, disasters, pain, suffering, mischief, corruption, hasad and jealousy, all these type of things you're asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for protection from. Look at the morning evening du'as, what are they? Asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for the nur and rahmat and barakat, and asking for protection from all the different kinds of calamities. So in this munajat-e-maqbool, in munajat-e-maqbool, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayhi has compiled du'as from the Quran Sharif and Hadith Sharif. Our mashayikh have recommended, because he's broken them down into manzils. Read this on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, with the meaning that the person understands. So if he can obtain munajat-e-maqbool and then read and see what kind of du'as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made. The best du'as are the du'as that are in the Quran Sharif and the Hadith Sharif. So just as we learn lots of other things, then we should also learn, if we do not remember the Arabic, then at least the meaning, and ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in our individual du'as. Collectively we make du'a sometimes, but individually beg of Allah ta'ala. What is tahajjud therefore? What is ishraq and chasht and awwabin for? After all these namazes, the person makes du'a. And at other times also, whenever any kind of difficulty, any kind of pain, suffering, problem, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what did he resort to? So adoption of the means is there. Therefore, I have spelled this out very, very clearly, because doubts come into people's mind that we are told to just depend only on dua and do nothing else. So it's not dependence only on dua, but whatever is going to happen will happen with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's hukam. So therefore we will adopt the means, because we are not of that level of taqwa and that level of tawakkul and yaqeen. We will adopt the means. Whatever the means, we will adopt that. That is what we call tadbir. I mentioned the other day that learn these 3-4 things. That is tadbir, that we will adopt the means. Adoption of means. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam adopted the means. And that example I have given 120 times now. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions also, some of them saw the angels coming down in the battle of Badr. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam witnessed them and saw them. Allah ta'ala sent 3,000, 5,000 angels in the battle of Badr. Now having seen that these angels came, and the assistance that Allah ta'ala gave through these angels, these 313 were able to rout an army of 1,000 strong. But in spite of that, when it came to the battle of Uhud, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not say that we saw how angels were sent down by Allah ta'ala. So he sent down 3,000, 5,000, one place, 3,000, one place mentioned, or 5,000. So even if he sends down one angel, he is sufficient to rout the whole army. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made every preparation. He wore the helmet. He wore coat of arms. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made the preparation. So the means were adopted. So the adoption of the means, you tie the camel and trust in Allah ta'ala. So adoption of the means we will do, but then after that we will follow it up. After the person has adopted the means, then we say, now don't trust in those means. Make a lot of dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So there will be tadbir, there will be dua. And after having made dua, then the person will make tafweez. That means he will now resign his will to the will of Allah ta'ala. Now he will not be demanding that it must happen as I have said, as I have asked. It must happen like that. He doesn't have the right to do that. He must have the yaqeen when he's making dua that Allah ta'ala accepts the dua. But then the acceptance of the dua is that sometimes the person gets exactly what he has asked, sometimes he gets something better. The person was making a lot of dua for good health. He didn't get good health, but he got the tawfiq of making khatam of one Quran Sharif. He got the tawfiq of making 2 rakat nafil namaz. He got the tawfiq of giving some charity. He got the tawfiq of making some zikrullah. So now we will not consider this as acceptance of dua, whereas that dua that was accepted, Allah Ta'ala gave us these ni'mats. So sometimes he gives it in the spiritual form. And sometimes he removes some difficulty, calamity, pain and suffering that was going to come. And that is one thing that we all know, that it is a secret. Nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Nobody knows. Now we are making dua. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows that tomorrow there was going to be a very serious accident. But this person's dua, with the barakat of that, now Allah ta'ala removes that difficulty, that calamity that was going to come. The person was going to be shot in the hold up. Now there was a hold up, but nobody used the gun, although they had guns. We don't know what kind of difficulty Allah ta'ala removes, or he removes that calamity altogether. So we will not be able to know, we can't check it out on the computer whether it was removed or not removed. Otherwise everybody will check before time. So we must have yaqeen that sometimes that is what has happened because of the dua. And sometimes Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala keeps it in store for the hereafter. On the day of Qiyamah, when the people will be given treasures by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in Jannat, they will say, on account of what are we being given this? They say, on account of those du'as that you made, which you thought were not accepted, on account of that. Then at that time the person will wish that none of his du'as were accepted, when he will see those treasures. But of course we are not in that category, we want everything cash. We say credit tomorrow, cash today. So therefore Allah Ta'ala gives it to us here too. So tonight I just want to very quickly discuss this dua, which whilst I was making this morning, came to mind that I should discuss it with you. Read this, every day's dua. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in this dua he says, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika. Oh Allah, I seek protection. Allah Ta'ala is the only one who can give us protection. Again, we will adopt the means, but the protection lies in Allah Ta'ala. So he says, I seek protection in you. Min an ushrika bika shay'a. That I associate or ascribe partners to you. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in his sifat, in his attributes, there is nobody that can be associated. There is no partnership business. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not some kind of limited company. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's sifat, he is the creator. Allah ta'ala is Razzaq. Allah ta'ala is Sami', he is Basir. All seeing, all hearing, all knowing, who can be in partner in that? Who is the one that gives life in the mother's stomach? Who is it that sends the soul into the baby? Who is it that forms the baby? Now all those things in the attributes of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he says, I seek protection that I should ascribe partners to you. This is a subject, very, very vast subject. But he says, wa ana a'lamu, and that I know also, that I am ascribing this partner. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not going to do it. But we can see how in the world people have been misled and gone astray, because they really thought that there cannot be just one Allah that can do everything. That is where the kuffar and mushrikeen had a problem. Because they said, how can be just one Allah? He is the creator of everything. He created the heavens, the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars and everything. He is the one that gives life. He is the one that gives health. He is the one that gives wealth. He is the one that gives children. He is the one. Now there is the one Allah causes the crops to grow and he feeds all the creatures and animals and insects. One Allah cannot be doing so many things. So there must be many, many, many Allahs. One Allah of the moon, one Allah of the sun, one Allah of health, one Allah of wealth, one Allah of this and one Allah Ta'ala of that. And that is why they made up those idols with their own hands after that and started worshipping them. So asking for protection. We must not think that in our time this doesn't happen. Big, big presidents of countries, they also haven't found Allah Ta'ala, haven't recognized Allah Ta'ala. Ministers, cabinet ministers, they haven't found Allah Ta'ala. Go to India and see people with what kind of degrees and what they worshipping. So we can make shukr of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that He saved us by blessing us with Iman and Islam. وَأَسْتَغْفِرُكَ لِمَا لَا أَعْلَمُ بِهِ. And I seek forgiveness, O Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, from you. that I ascribe partners to you without knowing. One is knowingly and one is unknowingly. There are again many, many people in the world who unwittingly, unknowingly, they ascribe partners to Allah Ta'ala. They don't even know that what they are committing is shirk. So from both, he is asking us to seek Allah Ta'ala's protection. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not going to commit any kind of shirk, na'uzubillah. He was the one who taught us iman. These du'as were for us. He taught it to us so that we may ask Allah Ta'ala. For example, riya and show business is also considered to be a form of shirk. Shirk azghar. Minor shirk, when a person is doing something for the show business, so that people may recognize him to be pious, righteous, he is doing things. So now he sometimes doesn't even realize that this what I am doing is also a form of shirk. So therefore I ask Allah Ta'ala for maaf, for forgiveness, that in my ibadat, in my zikr, in my tilawat, in everything that I am doing, there must be sincerity, there must be ikhlas. Now again, each of these things we can go on speaking, but I just want to give you a sample of what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked in that dua. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, wa a'udhu bika an yad'uwa alayya rahimun qata'atuha. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, look at the words he chose. Wa a'udhu bika an yad'uwa alayya rahimun qata'atuha. Now this is something that we will not even think of. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for protection. I'm giving you just the meaning of it. That the person from whom I have broken off my family relationship, his curse must not get me. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that those from whom I have broken off my family relationship, I'm giving you a general meaning, then their curse must not come upon me. Or whosoever I broke off, his curse must not come upon me. Now was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam going to break off any family relationship? But in our times, how much of family relationships have been broken? For petty, petty reasons. We are not talking about deen here. For deeny reasons, even if that person has to curse, it is not going to have any effect. But it is a lesson for us that how much of our family relationships have been broken, ties have been broken for not deeny reasons, it is for worldly reasons. Just over some property, some inheritance problem, some word that the person used which we found a little bit hard and harsh. Husband and wife, parents and children, brothers and sisters, family members. So we just say, well, go to hell. You go your way, I go my way. So if we have been unjust and the person then curses, then that curse will come upon us. So what he is trying to teach us is that if we have some kind of problem, then resolve it. But don't leave the door open where somebody's curses will then come upon us. Now again, as I said, now this is family relationship, which is a subject. We're not discussing it in detail. Then look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam seeking protection from what? Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sharri man yamshi ala batni. Asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for protection from the mischief of those animals or creatures or whatever it is, they crawl on their stomachs. Snakes and all other kind of things that are on the stomach. There are sometimes big, big animals, we don't even see them. You go into the jungles and see what kind of animals Allah Ta'ala has created. Now those things which are crawling on the stomach. وَمِنْ شَرِّ مَنْ يَمْشِي عَلَىٰ رِجْلَيْنِ. And from the harm and the mischief of those that walk on their feet. Asking protection from that. That those that move on the two legs, Allah Ta'ala must give protection from their harm also. وَمِنْ شَرِّ مَنْ يَمْشِي عَلَىٰ أَرْبَعٍ. And from the mischief and the harm of those animals which walk on four legs, whether it is cows or donkeys or mules, or whether it is lion or cheetah for tiger, now all these animals also. Nabi Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is asking Allah Ta'ala for protection from their mischief, from their harm. Now we will say that where are we going to find lions here and tigers here and cheetahs here? Those people who are traveling out, and especially in those days they had to go through jungles, forests, where did they have aeroplanes just flying over? So asking Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for protection, and even in our time, there can be dog that can suddenly attack a person. The person went to someone's house and he rang the bell, and the dog suddenly came out from there. How many times we have read of dogs molding and attacking, and how many people got killed, sometimes even the owners and the little children got killed, their own child. So asking Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for protection. Sometimes it may be even a cat. Doesn't a cat also attack? So we must not only think of those lions in the jungles. Cats, dogs, now these are things right in our homes, or next door to ours. Asking Allah Ta'ala for protection from any harm coming from them. There are many, many incidents that we know of. And then listen to this dua of Nabi Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Wa a'udhu bika, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika, min imra'atin tushayyibuni qabla al-mashib. It can be only a Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala who teaches us du'as like this. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, oh Allah, I ask you for protection from that woman who makes me old before my time. Can we, whose du'a this is? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, I ask for protection from that kind of wife or woman who makes me old before my time. In other words, she gives the person so much of headache and problems, or she is so mischievous, or she is so demanding. Her demands are so great. Look at some of the women folk, their demands with regards to their dresses and their makeup and their shoes. And if there's a walima or a wedding or something in the family, then all the demands that have to be fulfilled. So now that husband is under pressure, he's worried. He doesn't have that kind of earning. So that stress is going to make him old before his time. Or that she's all the time nagging, she's not allowing him any kind of fresh air to breathe. So then he's going to get old before his time. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, ask, make dua to Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala must protect us from that woman who makes us old before our time. So now all the husbands must have got very happy. So the women folk must not think that the dua was only for the husbands, and they must make that dua. The women folk also must make dua. The ladies must make dua. The wives must make dua. Ya Allah, protect me from such a husband who makes me old before my time. Because some husbands are such that they give the wife endless problems. They have an illicit love relationship with somebody or the other. Then see what is their attitude in the home. Sometimes the husband is so miserly that he just doesn't want to spend, although Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given him sufficiency. And it causes great amount of stress for that wife because she can't even sometimes get the basic necessities from that husband. Sometimes it is due to children that the women folk have to suffer the husband's anger. Sometimes those husbands, their fuses are very short, they keep on blowing. So now they too must make that dua that, oh Allah, protect us from such a kind of husband or such a kind of man. Sometimes might not be a husband, but it could be the father who is making that young daughter in the house go old before her time because of his nagging and because of his harshness and because of his criticism of everything, and because of his ill treatment and because of his abuse. So she too must ask that, oh Allah, protect me from any man in the house, or my husband, or my father, or whoever it is that makes me old before my time. Look at what a beautiful dua Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given. It is for everybody, for both men and women. Now, who could have ever thought of a dua like that? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching it to us. Now, it's a subject again, as I said. So, أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ إِمْرَأَةٍ تُشَيِّبُنِي قَبْلَ الْمَشِيمِ. Because that is what happens. The person's hair goes white when he has to face such kind of situations. So before the woman turns him grey, he's asking Allah Ta'ala to protect him. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ وَلَدٍ يَكُونُ عَلَيَّ وَبَالًا. Again the meaning of it. Just as he asked for protection from that woman who makes the husband old before his time, now he's asking for protection from that child or those children who become a kind of test for the parents. People will ask the one child, when those children come, now if those children haven't been given the right education, or they are not given the right discipline, then what will happen is that those children will become wabal upon those parents. And if those children were not given the right education, and they were not given the right upbringing, then even in akhirat they become a wabal, because the parents are going to be questioned. In this world also the parents suffer, and in akhirat too they will suffer. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in other words, is asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that if you give me children, then those children must be such that they are obedient, they are disciplined, they are pious, they are righteous, they are salih. Ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for that kind of children. Ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for refuge from children who are a cause of evil. Those children will be the cause of mischief and evil. You ask for refuge. Refuge in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ مَادٍ يَكُونُ عَلَيَّ عَذَابًا. How what beautiful verse. And asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for protection from that kind of wealth which will become an azab for the person. Wealth is a very good thing in the hands of a good person, but this same wealth can become an azab. It can create great amount of mischief and fitnas and corruption. Look at all over the world, the greatest amount of corruption is women and wealth. Millionaires, billionaires, anybody can be, but this wealth is a thing that sometimes the person will kill, he'll murder, he'll do anything, that he must have the wealth. All that wealth comes, but doesn't bring any kind of peace and happiness. It's a wabal upon the person. Then what is the benefit of that kind of wealth? If that wealth is not bringing enjoyment, any kind of happiness, any kind of contentment and peace in the home, then what is the benefit of that wealth? So therefore asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that protect me from that kind of wealth which becomes an azab. And if that wealth was earned in a haram way, then it is already azab. If it was earned in a haram way, it's already azab. But even if it was earned in a halal way, it can become an azab upon the person. He doesn't give the zakat of that wealth, it became an azab. He didn't make the qurbani, became an azab. The person didn't give those whose shares were in that wealth, became an azab. That he inherited it, but in there were shares of everybody. Now he didn't give it, so it became an azab of him. Now he's got it, but it's an azab. So that is when the person is getting it in the wrong way, or he earned plentiful through interest, or some lotto ticket, which is in reality luto, because they take everybody's money and they give a few people. So if you got that, like big money came, but what came? Flood waters came with all the insects, scorpions and dead animals and urine and stool in that water, flood waters, but nothing. It can't help, the person will get bilharzia if he has to drink that water. So wealth is a very good thing. But for whom? لِلْرَجُلِ الصَّالِحِ. The person must also be صالح. So that is, if it came in the haram way, it is an azab. But even if it comes in the halal way, but if the person does not use it correctly, it can again become an azab for the person. Haven't people killed their own parents because of wealth? Insurance policies, haven't we heard of people killing their own families? This wealth is a thing like that. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, Ya Allah, I ask protection in you. From that my wealth becomes an azab for me. For this wealth, for that sometimes people lose their whole akhlaq and morals and behavior and everything. Wealth must come, whatever happens. So he therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Wa a'udhu bika min malin yakunu alayya azaba. I will stop here for tonight, making dua Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect us from all these things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for protection from. Now this was just a sample that I gave you of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam dua, that he did not leave out anything. If you have to read all the other duas or listen to the other duas, then you will find Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam covered everything. Now who will think of animals in the jungles and animals from their stomachs or creatures or insects and all these type of things? And who will think of woman making the person old before his time, asking Allah Ta'ala for protection? Many, many other duas, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was inspired by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. His duas were there to connect us with Allah ta'ala. So instead of just complaining all the time, this is what we should be doing. Adopt the means, put our heart and soul into the dua, then make the freeze. After that, leave it to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to make the decision. And also take out some sadaqah. Sadaqah always we think must be one sheep, one goat, or one big animal. According to one's own means and capacity, give some sadaqah, some charity or the other, to the poor and the needy. Don't just say charity is for the rich. We have got in our heads that charity is for the very rich. The person who from his 10 rand gives 1 rand, and the person who from his 100 rand he gives 10 rand, and the person from his 1,000 rand he gives 100 rand, and from his 100,000 he gives 10,000, they're all the same. In sawab, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give them the same. Because this person made a greater sacrifice, that he had only 10 rand and he gave 1 rand. From his 1 loaf of bread he sliced and gave somebody a little bit. So everyone Allah Ta'ala has given something that they can give from their belongings. And if not, then say a good word, make salam, be cheerful, smile, all these things are sadaqah also. And then make dua. Then see what happens. Allah Ta'ala changes conditions with dua. What has happened? There are incidents upon incidents upon incidents. Right from the time of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And Sayyidul Anbiya Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at the incidents in his life and dua what he did. And then look at the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu majmain. But it goes as a package. That means we must have our namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, our ibadat. Our dealings must be straight with all that, then we make dua, then Allah Ta'ala will show us the effects of those dua. May Allah Ta'ala bless me, bless you and bless all the ummah with the tawfiq of amal. Allah Ta'ala must protect us from the harm and the mischief of everything that He has created and bless us with the best of dunya, best of akhirat. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen. صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اے رب کریم ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما. یا ذا الجلال والاکرام, یا ذا الجلال والاکرام, یا ذا الجلال والاکرام. Oh my beloved Allah, we have been very very negligent in our lives. We haven't recognized your greatness. My beloved Allah, fill our hearts with your azmat, with your muhabbat. Fill our hearts with the love and ishq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Bless us with the ta'at of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's ihsan upon us is so great, so great, so great, that he did not leave out anything that was good for us, but that he showed it to us. His ihsan is so great that he did not leave out anything that was harmful to us, but that he informed us. His mubarak du'as also, how much he made for us. Oh my beloved Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Forgive our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly, unknowingly in the light of day or darkness of night. Forgive us, our parents, our wives and children, brothers and sisters, family members, ummat of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rabbi Kareem, O my beloved Allah, we are extremely weak servants of yours. Don't turn away your glance of rahmat and mercy because of our weakness. Don't look at our sins, my Allah. Look at your shan of being Rahim and Kareem. Hum gunegar, siyakar, badkar, mujrim, khataka. Gande hai mere maula, our hearts are dirty, filthy. Pride, arrogance, jealousy, envy, malice, greed. You have given our hearts to ghayrullah. Ey Rabbi Kareem, humare hal par raham parma. Who is there to save us besides you? Siwaye tere, humara koi sahara nahi. Siwaye tere, koi humara nahi. Ab to humara ban ja, hume apna bana le. Bless us with protection, my beloved Allah. From all the fitnas and corruption and mischief that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for protection from. Bless us with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for us. Bless our parents, wives and children and the ummah with that goodness. Bless us with barakat in our sustenance, barakat in our homes, barakat in our lives, barakat in our time. Unite the hearts of parents and children, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, ummat of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirah. When the time of our departure comes from this world, don't let the angel of death find us in any kind of haram. Take us to Madina Tayyibah. Bless us with shahadat in Madina Tayyibah. Baryal Imbah. Mujhko jeene ka sahara chahiye. Gham tumhara, dil hamara chahiye. Bahre ulfat ka kinara chahiye. Sar hamara, dar tumhara chahiye. Oh my beloved Allah, you are well aware of the good wishes, desires, aspirations, tamanna that is in the hearts of all those who have raised their hands before you this part of the night. Fulfill their good wishes, good desires and aspirations. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Those who are weak, give them strength. Whatever difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering of it, Ya Allah, remove it with your fazl, with your kindness and your ihsan. Rabbana taqabbal minna. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ سَيِّدِنَا وَنَبِيِّنَا وَشَفِيعِنَا وَمَوْلَانَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ